Derek, quick question for you.
Yeah, Mike.
Things more overblown. Carrie Underwood's scar. Bill Peters going to Calgary.
Yes.
More overreaction. Derek Ryan going to Calgary. Or Tom Dundon hiring Rod Brind'Amour as the next coach of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, God. Absolutely the latter.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At least round these parts.
Yeah. It was, it's been interesting times over here in Caniac land.
It's been fun. I know you and I haven't been behind these mics in a couple weeks. Kind of took a bit of a break. Focus on our personal lives.
Work.
Do some non-hockey things. Just step away from all that's going on. And we're like, you know, we'll come back and do another podcast when news warrants. Well, news done warranted.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a week in the last 7 days here in Caniac land. So, hey, you know, welcome back everyone to this. In case you've forgotten, this is Cheaters Never Win. We are the longest running Carolina Hurricanes podcast in history.
Damn right.
In the history of modern man, we are the longest running Carolina Hurricanes podcast. Shout out to the other podcasts who are doing their best to catch up. Newsflash, you won't. But we're here. Which, you know what? You know, I am confident of one thing, and that's time shall not go backwards.
Father Time is undefeated.
Undefeated. Unless, of course, you are Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel will win.
Okay.
I'm hopeful. I mean, Phil Kessel escaped Toronto, and now he's won everything ever since. So, I'm just saying.
Staying away from that street meet.
Your version of street meat and mine may differ, but hey, that's
no,
another...
street meat's the hot dog carts with all
the stuff. Oh, okay. Okay, I got you now. I'm with you now. Gosh. Shout out to South Raleigh. Anyway, where do you live again? Never mind.
Not Garner.
South Raleigh. Right?
Right. No, it is. Okay. I do live in South Raleigh.
Okay. Garner. Anyway, so welcome back to this another episode of Cheaters Never Win, where we're going to talk about hockey. We're going to talk about local media. We're going to talk about beer. We're going to talk about booze. We're going to talk about each other. Who knows what all we're going to talk about?
We're going to talk about each other?
Fuck you. I don't care. It's the off season. No one's listening anyway. You're wearing a Buckeye shirt, for God's sake. You're like, damn, yay, right. Come on, football season. No one cares.
I want to have hope for something that won't let me down.
Oh, come on. You're absolutely going to be let down by the Buckeyes this year.
I mean, they may lose one game.
After another?
No. Oh. You must not follow the Buckeyes, sir.
No, I don't. I don't. I'm not from Ohio. I was born properly. And see, look, we're talking about each other. This is fun, right, Derek?
You're from West Virginia.
I hate you. Go to hell. Again,
it's good to be, Mike, it's good to be back.
The longest running, friendliest Carolina podcast.
No, nope. Many other podcasts have us beaten on that. Oh, hey. I thought we were going to ET touch fingers or something there. Okay. But no, Mike, it's going to be fun tonight. It's legitimately really good to be back behind the microphones.
Yes, it is.
Had to, you know, do some housework, do some spring cleaning, really just clear our minds of hockey. And now it's good to get back together with friends to talk a little hockey. We've watched some playoff stuff. Please remind Mike at some point during this podcast tonight to share a few names of who is on top of the Section 328 Welp Drink NHL Playoff Bracket Challenge, because the winner of that bracket challenge does get their choice of a shirt from the 328 store, so I want to touch on that. But it's good to be together. It really is. Yes. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you for God knows how many minutes tonight.
I don't know. We're going to talk for many, many of the minutes, because Kane's Twitter has not been a fun place to hang out.
Oh, it depends on your definition of fun, because I enjoy it for what it is.
A shithole firestorm?
How do you... But I don't see it that way. Like, I really want to talk about this, because okay.
Let's talk about this.
Do we want to hit the intro first, or we want to talk about
this now? Let's talk about this. Fine.
Okay, screw it. It's the offseason.
It's the offseason.
We're two Mike F-bombs in, so let's talk about it. I don't get why people are upset about Kane's Twitter. I've heard it from several people, and yeah, there's some that's like, okay, some Canes fans have poo-pooed on some Flames fans about, oh, you're getting Bill Peters, he's not good. Kind of the way Caps fans did to us when we got Alex Semin. I am not comparing the two scenarios. I'm just saying we've seen that kind of treatment from one fan base to one fan base. But I haven't spent a whole ton of time on Kane's Twitter, but what I've seen, it hasn't been any sort of levels of toxicity or things where I'm like, oh boy, that's beyond the pale. I really don't see why some people are up in arms about it.
Well, I think it has less to do with, I mean, because we are definitely not in mid-season toxicity form, but what I have seen is, Kane's Twitter is currently politics. There is no middle ground. You have to figure out which end of the far spectrum upon which you reside, and you have to then die on that hill.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because everyone wants to just... It is overreaction central, you know? I mean, it is, oh my gosh, this is going to happen, is the world is going to end. You know, Tom Dundon is immediately starting the search for a head coach, and Tom Dundon, therefore, is immediately doing everything wrong because he should be looking for a general manager and the general manager for making the coach and yada, yada, yada. You know, Tom may be looking for a coach, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's making a coaching decision. Mm-hmm. But everyone wants to take every individual word that everything says that comes out of the front office and just make it this huge big deal. It was like when Tom Dundon came out and said, yes, I was part of the exit interviews. Why was he part of the exit interviews? Because Ron Francis and Bill Peters went full Degeneration X and went, suck it, and they weren't going to be part of those interviews anyway.
Well, no, but Dundon was on ESPN with Greg Wyshynski and Emily Kaplan and was saying that...
Shout out to Emily and Greg, by the way.
Yeah, he was saying, like, look, these are the guys that actually put the puck in the net. I figured I should talk to them.
Yeah, right.
But what you're saying is, you know, the fans looking at every decision of, oh my God, this is the best or this is the worst. That's what fans do. Fans are fanatics. Show me one fan base that you look to and go, ah, boy, there's the paragon of reason and disciplined decision making. Like, no, that's what fans do. If you want, like, the measured takes, go somewhere else. But I don't hate
it. Come to me. I am full of measured takes. Generally, those takes are about two fingers deep.
I would say measured to the brim, sir.
Yes.
But no, like, I don't mind when fans are doing that. Like, go ahead. Be really happy with what Dundon's doing. Be really upset with what Dundon's doing. Care. As long as you care at this point in the season, I'm good with it.
And I get it. But I think there's also a time and a place for just soaking it in.
That's called college.
And you're right. But I think there's a time to just be like, you know what? There's a time to reserve judgment. And maybe now, rather than make judgments based upon every little single step and every little single word that happens, maybe it's time, like you and I have both done, we've taken a little step back.
Sure.
You know, the Section 328 Twitter account hasn't been nearly as active. We haven't pumped out all of the hashtag content that, you know, maybe the good people have deserved. But it's been good. It's been refreshing. It's kind of like, it's reinvigorated the soul to, like, sit back, you know, and watch, you know, some playoff hockey and to see good hockey and to just enjoy the sport for the beautiful thing that it is, you know, with Brad Marchand doing all of the... I can't even say it with a straight face.
So for me, anyway, the way I look at it as I enjoy a good... spirited conversation on Twitter about whatever topic it is that pertains to just about anything Hurricanes. I'm all for it. What I'm not for is a spirited conversation about the conversations happening on Twitter. Like,
I'm so done with that.
I don't want to get into that of like, oh, well, these fans are doing this and these fans are doing this. Like, no, fans are going to fan. They're going to talk. We're fans. We're going to talk. Like, I don't know that there's much that we have done on this podcast that hasn't happened on Twitter at some point or vice versa. It's just good. Enjoy the fact that there are other people that share an interest that you can agree or disagree with, and you can tune out the percentage of people that you think are assholes.
I hate humans, Derek.
I know you do, Mike.
Humans are awful.
Yeah, they're not as bad as durian. Durian is terrible. It should never be made into something that some people call candy. I've had durian candy, Mike. It's awful. It's like if you combined metal and smoke and a decaying body.
Derek, F. Mary Kill, real quick. Durian.
Kill.
Bowmore 25-year scotch. on a hot afternoon in a shot glass that you have to sip in the middle of the eighth fairway.
Okay, can I go ahead and tell you right now, compared to durian, I would rather have an IV of Bowmore 25 after playing a game of one-on-one basketball against LeBron James where I had to try.
We've seen you, Derek.
Right.
You're as athletic as a baby giraffe.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, even after what I consider competing, I'd rather have the IV of aged peated scotch than eat durian candy. So what's your third option?
Third option is another season as Cam Ward is your starting goaltender.
Oh, damn.
Ha! Gotcha, bitch!
Could I choose kill me?
F, Mary kill Derek. You know what? I love this. F, Mary kill Derek.
No, F, Mary seppuku? F, Mary immolate?
Oh, gosh. You know, basically the rest of this podcast is going to be me and Derek kicking each other in the balls. So I hope you guys are looking forward to that. I get
the Rochambeau edition. Hey, Mike, cheat mail for you. Oh, God.
Hey, Derek, can you kick that X button?
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the first off-season edition of Cheaters Never Win since last off-season, where we were also not in the playoffs. Last season, we were called Cheaters Never Win. This season, cheated plenty, still didn't win enough to matter. We're still your intrepid host. My name's Mike.
This is Derek.
And when we're not busy kicking each other in the balls, Rochambeau style, we're here to be your host on the Cheaters Never Win podcast, brought to you by our good friends at Bottle Mix. Fans of beer could care less about Rochambeau.
Fans of wine may also not care about Rochambeau.
Also, still a part of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network, but still haven't been invited on the damn radio show because, you know what? Hayes has bigger names to talk to. But you know who he didn't have a bigger name to talk to tonight? Us. Because he picked up the phone. And a little bit later, Hayes Permar is going to be our guest tonight on this episode of Cheaters Never Win, where we're going to talk about Sports Channel 8, the show. We may go a little off the board. We may talk a little bit, I'm going to go ahead and give it.
Are we going to kidnap a Carmanos child?
We don't kidnap a Carmanos child. Shout out to Canalytics.
That's a Patreon exclusive piece of content there.
Yeah, if you're a Patreon, you got that joke. If you're not a Patreon, you didn't get that joke. But you can become a Patreon, patreon.com/section328 for all of the Patreon perks.
So for real, since you brought that up, good time to segue. We're now in the offseason, Mike. We are 2 months away from the NHL draft. 2 months from now.
Yes.
Myself, Mr. Workrate, Pat, Oliver, and more likely will be down in Dallas providing coverage for you, the good folks who listen to 328, who read 328, bringing you draft coverage for that. We're also going to have Patreon exclusive podcasts while we're there. We're going to have one. The second annual drunk podcast.
Unfortunately, I will not be there for it to produce it, so good luck.
Thank you very much. That should be an event. And we are also going to have, as Mike promised, I believe two, maybe three episodes back, the first ever all cheat mail episode of the podcast. That will happen. Both of those will be Patreon exclusive episodes. So head over to patreon.com/section328 or just section328.com. Click the Patreon button for as little as a dollar a month. You are saying that, hey, you support what we do. You enjoy the podcast. We truly appreciate that. And as a return of the favor, we will give you those exclusive podcasts. And at higher tiers per month, there are also better rewards like free t-shirts and so on. So we appreciate the support that we get from everyone. But there are rewards for folks who contribute a dollar a month.
Yeah, absolutely. And before the end of this podcast, we're going to be talking about another Patreon reward, something we're actively planning as we speak, like literally while we're recording the podcast.
I just heard something about it.
In the other room, we're planning an event that Patreons are going to have very specific input on that I hope many of you are going to be very excited about. that's coming up here during the offseason. So as we mentioned, Eric, it's been the offseason. And before we get to Hayes, let's talk a little bit about what's happened since you and I were last behind these mics. I believe
some things happened.
I believe.
Was our power play unsuccessful?
Yes, because they haven't done anything.
Get it together, power play.
We don't have a head coach. We don't have a general manager. We have an owner that hockey culture, hashtag hockey culture, kind of disdains right now. Derek, what the hell's going on in Raleigh?
Where do we start?
So since we last talked.
I'm not saying that to be flip and throw it back to you. Like, for real, where do we start? We could start with some things I took notes on, like kind of a referendum on the Bill Peters era. We could talk about the fact that you said, like, Tom Dundon's kind of pissing off a lot of hockey culture because he doesn't do things by the old standard country club way. We could talk about the fact that we need to hire a general manager. Who that general manager should probably have some say on the coach. So who do we hire first? Everybody has their opinions one way or the other.
Everybody's got opinions on who the head coach should be, whether or not we have a general manager or not.
Right, for real. Where do we start, Mike? Where do you want to start?
I think I start at the top. Let's start with Tom Dundon.
All right, let's do it.
Our you know, supposed savior, the man at the head of the line. I think we done a podcast since we had exit interviews?
We haven't done a podcast since the season finale.
Okay.
So the last podcast we did was telling people to come out to the tailgate, which was so dry. Mike, driest day I've ever felt. I can't think of a day where I changed clothes less often than that day.
It was
so dry.
It was moist.
Oh, my God.
So moist.
Ugh. Duncan Hines had nothing on the moistness of that day.
No. Keebler elves could not cook cookies long enough to make sure they would soak up any milk when you dunked them.
All right.
Nothing. Okay.
I got nothing.
Nothing. It all kind of started with the exit interviews when Tom Dundon came out and said, you know, Bill Peters has options. I have options. Mm-hmm. And we're all weighing those options. Well, this week we learned that Bill Peters weighed his options and said, you know, peace be with you and also with you. I believe I have a better option somewhere else and I'm out.
I personally enjoyed the fact that it was, hey, Tom Dundon's going to have his press conference on Monday, the 11th, whatever the hell it was.
Right.
Bill Peters' press conference scheduled for Tuesday. Okay. Well, Tuesday morning, Bill Peters' press conference is being pushed back to the next week because he's been part of the world champion team for Team Canada and so on, and good for him. And then the next week starts to come around and that word comes out of, well, Bill Peters has an out clause that goes through next Friday, so his press conference is pushed back to next week. And then we're never going to hear from him again.
Well, Bill Peters finally had his press conference.
In Calgary,
with Brad Treliving, and congratulations to all of the folks who are fans of the Calgary Flames. You have now acquired a Carolina Hurricanes former head coach.
For Canadian teams, that's working out all right.
I was going to say, if history shows us anything, guys who have formerly coached the Carolina Hurricanes have gone on to playoff success. I'm looking at you, Paul Maurice and Peter Laviolette.
So the
only guy who hasn't is Kirk Muller.
Yeah. Quick sidebar. The Winnipeg-Nashville series has a combined 3 firings from Carolina Hurricanes head coaching gigs.
Woof. Yeah. Strong work.
Thank you.
I mean, if only we had fired Patrick Laine.
Oh, it's dirty. So, but going back, I don't know, Mike, if you noticed if Bill Peters was drinking from a glass of water or if he had a bottle of water in front of him in Calgary.
I believe he had a jug of Brita.
Ooh. Already throwing shade at the local guys, huh?
Maybe.
Hmm.
How about you make me a fucking cup of water?
Oh, God. So let's get into the Bill Peters conversation, huh?
Why don't we?
Why not? So,
Peters, he's Albertan.
Yes, he is incredibly Albertan. I'm guessing the water up there needs to be filtered heavily for beef and oil.
Probably.
So I took a few notes today, Mike. I went and looked at stats on hockeyreference.com. I looked at the last 4 years at just a few key stats. I didn't get fancy stats. I didn't look at the Corsi. I didn't look at PDO. I didn't look at any of those things only because they weren't available. If they were, I would have looked at them. So, Mike, out of 30 teams in the last four seasons, what do the Hurricanes rank in terms of wins?
19th.
28th.
Ooh, that's not good.
Total points out of 30.
26.
25th.
Okay.
Goals.
29th.
27th. Power play goals.
29th.
Bingo. Shorthanded goals.
9th.
26th.
Oh, that's not good either. Ooh.
Shots for.
Shots for 11th.
7th.
Okay.
So we've taken a lot of shots. Cool. We're just not putting them in the net. Shots against.
3rd.
2nd.
Ooh, very nice.
Goal differential. You know, because this is kind of a big one because that's like what matters in the games other than wins.
Goal differential, 26th.
25th.
Ooh, okay. So close.
Number of penalty minutes.
4th.
Fewest.
Ooh.
Fewest in the league, which also lines up with fewest power play goals against and 9th in shorthanded goals against. So some of those stats, when it comes to the counting numbers, we did well. But wins, 28th in the league in wins over the last four seasons, 25th in points, 27th in goals, 29th in power play goals.
But Derek.
The gentleman with his hand raised.
Thank you. It's all the goaltender's fault. Because it's all the goaltender's fault.
Sadly.
Because if Bill Peters had had even marginal goaltending, he would not have been 29th in power play goals scored.
May not have been 25th in goal differential. So here's the thing. I would have loved to have seen a hockey reference. And if there's a website out there that someone knows of that could show me team goaltending statistics over the past 4 years, I would love to look at it. But Mike, I think you bring up a good point. It's not just the goaltending. It's the matter of we need to get guys who can put the puck behind the opposing goaltender. But, I mean, I would be shocked if our goals against average or save percentage were better than 20th.
Or maybe we need to, you know, not have a system where guys shoot from 45 feet out on a consistent basis with nobody screening the goaltender. I don't know.
Maybe get into the
maybe,
slot.
Maybe we look at, you know, Derek, I was fortunate enough to watch the Pittsburgh Penguins. God, I never thought I would say that.
That's a weird sentence to hear.
I watched the Pittsburgh Penguins close out their series this week against the Philadelphia Flyers. And Jake Guentzel had himself a hockey game. 4 consecutive goals.
Woo!
And he was doing the hockey. Do you know where all of those goals kind of were scored?
To the
guy grunting, standing on his tiptoes with his hands up.
The point.
No.
Damn it.
No. Jake Guentzel went to the net with his stick on the ice. Now, again, he's also playing with probably the best player in the last 20 years.
Brian Rust?
No, Chris Letang.
Mm.
Pantene. It does great things for your game. But, yeah, no, it. He went to the net, he went hard to the net, and he put himself in a position to score goals, which had a high propensity for going into the net behind the goaltender.
Interesting strategy,
now, again,
Mike.
Very, very highly skilled, great player, playing with great line mates, probably a better center than we've had in Raleigh since, you know, maybe, you know, a guy who may be the next Hurricanes head coach.
I don't know why you used the word probably.
I don't want to piss off, you know, NCSU Superwoman and have her bench press me and throw me.
that's a good point.
Yeah. She's a big fan of the Eric Stahls. So anyway,
Eric Stahls can be our next head coach, or they meant Brindamore.
Derek. Okay, so Derek, do you know the reason why Tom Dundon has not named a general manager yet? He could not do so during the season. Because he has to wait for Cam Ward to retire before Cam Ward can become the next general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, Mike, find a new co-host. I'm out. Fuck it.
Derek's done. I mean, wouldn't that be the most Carolina Hurricanes thing ever? I mean, you could get him cheap.
I'm trying to think of something that is more Canes than that. And
Canes gonna Cane.
I don't know that I can.
Cam Ward, the next general manager of your Carolina.
I'm trying to think of what would be like even more awful.
A Chris Terry sandwich?
The guy who sang the anthem this year as the head. No, because he'd have to keep singing the anthem because that's what he's bad at. I don't know. That would be peak Canes, though.
DJ Mr. Ills sitting in on every episode of Cheaters Never Win ever.
The sound station and security power play. Ugh.
Still not as bad as Cam Ward as the general manager. Maybe not.
As a general, a coach or general manager?
Both.
Oh, God.
Coach and general manager. Co-coach.
So he's the Bill Belichick of this organization because everyone that interviews Tom Dundon for some reason wants to bring up the New England Patriots of, hey, any teams you're modeling your style after, you know, successful teams. How about the Patriots, huh? Because that's not lazy. So you're going to make Cam Ward the Bill Belichick of the Hurricanes.
Why not?
How does he look in a cutoff sweatshirt? You know what? You know what's missing on a
somebody out there photoshopped Cam Ward in a cutoff sweatshirt.
You know what a cutoff sweatshirt doesn't have, Mike?
A save percentage? A glove hand?
A glove hand.
Okay. All right. I'm with you. Okay. Oh. Again, it's the off season. I have no idea where the rest of this podcast is going.
Who cares?
We're gonna sign John Tavares. We're going to get.
And why not?
We're gonna get Dubas and Sheldon Keefe as general manager and head coach, and we're going to win the next 10 consecutive Stanley Cups.
So based on the fact that word on the street is Tom Dundon's not looking to pay a general manager much, maybe he'll lure Kyle Dubas in with the lower cost of living that Raleigh offers compared to Toronto.
And we have better weather.
It's true.
Better food trucks.
Less street meat. Eh? It worked for Phil Kessel. Get away from that street meat, baby. Steve Simmons isn't keeping tabs on where you eat.
I don't know what to do with that, Derek.
I mean, we were in Toronto together. We both discussed street meat in Toronto. Maybe we were both too drunk. I don't know. We talked about it.
So you're saying we were drunk together and we shared a street meat?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, gosh. That's what the Patreons come here for, Derek. Because no one else is fucking listening.
we are fast and loose with the F-bombs tonight, so apologies in retrospect if your children have been listening.
We're at three so far.
We're at three full ones and then like and a tease. Yeah, that was a half bath.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the powder room of profanity.
Exactly. Again, Hayes is coming up, but we're whatever. Because when I think of good cursing, Hayes Permar is where it's at. So here's my take. All right. So let's get serious for a second.
Okay. Fine.
Everyone's overreacting. Tom Dundon is searching for a general manager. Tom Dundon is going to let that general manager pick his head coach because no general manager worth his salt is going to come here with a head coach already in place.
Newly hired.
Brand newly hired. Now, Tom Dundon is definitely going to have input onto that head coach into what he's looking for. But if Tom Dundon is to be believed, and I believe he is a man of his word, that the general manager will hire the head coach, I believe he will have absolute input into that, but I believe it will be a group collaborative decision. I think that there are a lot of names that are going to be out there. I do think that he is going to save money and is not going to offer a general manager somewhere between $3 and $5 million. So we may not be getting some of the Julian Brisebois, Paul Felton, I believe is a couple of the other names that are out there that are, you know, some of the guys who are immediately in there running for the general manager job of the Minnesota Wild. But I think that there is going to be someone who is put in place. You know who I want to be the general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, Derek?
Who dat?
Eric Tulski.
Interesting. Go on.
Eric Tulski, MIT-trained rocket scientist, quite possibly the smartest man in all of hockey. Why? You know, I know Florida went full computer boys and that type of thing, right? But Tulski's been working with Ron and all of these guys kind of behind the scenes. Why can't a guy like Tulski get a shot at it, right? You know, if it is going to be data-based, if there is going to be a process put in place, I don't know Eric's propensity for wanting to run the business side of that, but that's what, you know, president of hockey operations and, you know, the head and the president of Gale Force Holdings is going to be responsible for. But why not a guy like Tulski?
So, I hate to be critical of someone who has been nothing but great to us the times when we've met and interacted, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, both the work that he's done, that I've read, what I assume he's done for the Canes, because a lot of it is done in a secret underground bunker.
But
what I wonder is, in the general manager role, because you have to kind of, to some extent, I think, it is a lot of relationship building. What I wonder is, does he have the savvy and to a certain extent the bluster that sometimes you need to play those to varying extents in the general manager role? You know, there's a bit of media savvy that I don't know one way or the other whether he has that
Eric
or not.
Tulski, former blogger for Broad Street Hockey, of course he has media savvy.
Good point. Travis can hook him up.
Exactly. I mean, we'll be
doing those SB Nation scoops.
He will absolutely be the favorite general manager of everybody at SB Nation. Yeah.
So I'm not totally opposed to it. I just have my hesitations about some of the outgoing bravado that sometimes you see with general managers that doesn't always work out. I'm not saying it wouldn't work, but I just have my reservations.
Yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't hate seeing him as like the assistant general manager.
I don't know what's going to happen, you know, but I think there's a name that hasn't been talked about that I think could be an interesting name.
What about Sport Durst?
Happy to buy a Jeep from them. Yeah. Happy to have them be a future sponsor of this here podcast. Okay. Probably don't want them to be the.
But here's the thing: he'll make sure that you always feel like you've won the trade because at Sport Durst you come first.
You're right.
He's a loving general manager. Out for your needs, because he wants you to come first.
I don't know where this is going, Derek. And
I don't either.
Yeah, it's just a rabbit hole.
It's off season.
Anyway, from a head coach perspective, let's talk about this. You know, this is one of the more asked questions we've had. And again, we're going to get to Hayes Permar, so stick around for that, because Hayes
on is, like,
yeah, like 15, 20 minutes from now, like, feel free to fast forward.
Sometime during the middle of this coming Hanukkah,
right?
We're going to get to Hayes Permar.
So, it came out immediately upon the official news that Bill Peters was no longer going to be the head coach for your Carolina Hurricanes, that the number one candidate, without hearing anything from anybody, was going to be Rod Brindamore. We heard it from Gold. We heard it from DeCock. We heard it from numerous outlets then who immediately reported it. And then Rod Brindamore himself came out and said, you know, I would like to be one of the first interviews, which was, you know, kind of our first question. We said, you know, Rod Brindamore may be a completely valid choice, but does Rod even want the job? Because if he wanted the job, maybe he would have taken a head coaching position with the Checkers before Vellucci took it, so that way he could actually get some head coaching experience. Let's wipe all of that clean. Okay. There are options out there from a head coaching position. You know, you've got guys who are recently fired, like Alain Vigneault.
Nope.
You've got guys who are minor league coaches. You have a good swath of college coaches. You look at what Dave Hackestall has done up in Philadelphia. You look what Jared Bednar, former coach of the, I believe, the Charleston Stingrays and the ECHL, did this year to get Colorado back to the playoffs.
And as much recycling as the NHL loves to do with head coaching gigs, Dave Tippett, Daryl Sutter. Here's the crazy thing, Mike. Not a head coach right now. I don't want him at all because of what he's said in this city before. But Lindy Ruff, you'd swear the guy is 83 years old. He's not even 60.
No.
I think he's 57. So Lindy Ruff, Dave Tippett, Daryl Sutter, those are three big names with some NHL pedigree that are
Scotty
available.
Bowman, not currently coaching.
Scotty who?
Scotty Bowman.
Yeah. I don't think he wants in on this gig.
You never know.
I was yawning while you said that because it's been a long day, and I thought you said Scott Pellerin, and I was like, why would we want Scott Pellerin?
Or, you know, maybe again, if we're talking about Carolina Hurricanes retreads, you know, we mentioned Rod Brindamore. Scott Walker had a good one with Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Scott Walker wants to come in and coach. Again, so many potential names that are out
there.
But the visceral reaction that so many people have had to the Rod Brind'Amour rumor. I'd like to get your honest opinion, Derek, on where do you sit on the Rod Brind'Amour as the 2019 coach of your Carolina Hurricanes.
Now, can he coach in 2018?
I don't know if we. I don't know if we're gonna. I mean, Tom Dundon might be coaching the first part of the season.
All right, so January 1, Rod Brind'Amour takes over.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool. I neither love nor hate it, and I know this kind of goes against what we talked about of like Twitter with fan takes and everything, but here, I don't hate it. Yeah, I don't hate it because Rod Brind'Amour is a lead by example kind of guy. I think that's great as a player. I don't know how that plays as a coach when you may need a more vocal leader, and that hasn't been what Brind'Amour is, you know, known to like really tear into people. I'm not saying he can't. I haven't been in the locker room. I don't know exactly how he is. So I don't hate it from that aspect. I don't hate it from the aspect of when you are an assistant coach, you don't get to fully implement exactly what you want under a head coach. So maybe he has some better ideas. Where I don't like it is from a few reasons. One, he kind of, you know, we were told is that Brind'Amour ran the power play. The power play, as I mentioned earlier, bit of a dumpster fire. Didn't really work that well. The other thing is, I don't like promoting from within when the team hasn't been successful. Like if Bill Peters was doing really well here and a team like a Chicago, a Toronto, a New York that just has a shit ton of money came in and poached our head coach, we go, boy, we've been successful. Let's promote an assistant coach because things have been going well. When things aren't going well, I'd rather have a fresh voice come in and talk to the room. So for me, I'm not really opposed to it. I'm not really in favor of it. I'd be okay with it. I just don't like the optics that it kind of seems like, okay, we're making a hire out of convenience as opposed to maybe doing the most research we can and making the best hire we can.
The most shocking thing here, Derek, may be that I agree with you.
Good God.
I think Rod Brind'Amour could be a great coach in Raleigh. I don't know if he's a great NHL head coach. I don't think we'll know that until he gets the opportunity to be it because he's never been a head coach. I think Rod Brind'Amour understands this market.
Mm-hmm.
I think he understands what it takes to win. And I think this market, you know, everybody says this, I think this market is a little bit different. There is a pent-up love for this team. It is a college market. You do not have the pressures of the fan, and this is one of the few markets I'll say that the pressures from the fans may be greater than the pressures that you receive from the media. I think Rod Brind'Amour understands, you know, I like what Rod Brind'Amour said, and I can't remember which interview it was where he said, he goes, I think I know what's wrong with this team, and I think I know what this team is missing. I don't get the jive that Rod and Bill necessarily were tied at the hip.
I can't think of two guys who are wired more differently who have to work together.
Yeah. So, and again, you need that sort of yin and yang on a coaching staff.
Good cop, bad cop.
I don't know. I just, at this point, again, I'm going to take a line from the Philadelphia 76ers, and you know, it's worked because, you know, Meek Mill is now free.
Free Meek.
I'm still trusting the process. I know it's been a long process, but it's a brand new head at the top of this process with Tom Dundon. He's been successful everywhere he's been so far. I'm going to reserve judgment until at least July 15th.
I'm with you on that, Mike, because I don't want to see a GM hire and go, oh God, I don't think that's going to work. Because you could, if anybody could find the episode of the podcast where when Don Waddell was brought on and both you and I were like, boy, we have our reservations.
Right.
And Don Waddell, from our experience, has been very good at what he does. You know,
he was given a shit sandwich and he's made the best he had to do with a shit sandwich under Pete Carmanos.
Yes.
And he's continued to, you know, Pete said, you know, basically Don's job was to take this team from red to black on the mm-hmm. offer sheet to get the team sold.
He may not have turned the chicken shit into some kind of risotto with black truffle on top, but he's at least turned it into chicken salad.
Exactly.
So the job he's done has been better than we expected.
And again, he doesn't answer to us. He answered to Peter Karmanos, and he did the job.
Absolutely. So, you know, when a new GM is named, I'm going to have my knee-jerk reactions, but I don't want that to be my sole judgment. When a coach is named, I'm going to have my knee-jerk reactions. But like you said, Mike, I want to look at the GM. I want to look at the coach. I want to look at where/if we draft in the first round, we'll see Saturday what our pick is going to be. And I want to see what we do in the first week or so of free agency. And I want to look at the whole picture and go, okay, does this look different? Does this look better? Does this instill confidence in a fan that we are moving in the right direction? We're not just letting our guys get a year older.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It's going to be interesting to see who actually makes it to the end of this podcast, Eric. We've talked a lot. We still have a guest. We still have cheat mail. We still have a beer review. Hold on, folks. You've missed us the last couple of weeks, so maybe this is a two-parter. Maybe you listen to this, you know, the first half of this podcast while you're on the treadmill, and then, you know, you pause it, and then, you know, like tonight when you're doing your TRX and you're doing your planking, you know, maybe you don't listen to us then because we're not a good planking web, you know, podcast. But, you know, tomorrow when you're back on the stationary bike, maybe you'll listen to the second half of this podcast because we've talked a lot. And speaking of talking a lot, here's tonight's guest. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome back to this very show, these very airwaves. Last time he was here, dare I say, he was a nothing, a nobody. And since his last appearance on this show, Hayes Permar is now ruling the roost at 99.9 The Fan as host, editor, and president, I believe, of the Sports Channel 8 radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, a huge round of applause for Raleigh's very own Hayes Permar.
What's going on, Hayes?
That round of applause was not very rousing. I could go for more applause. I don't know if you have sound effects that could edit that in, but for a guy with his own radio show, you know, I kind of expect a little more. You know what I mean?
I just went for the level of applause that you tapped in for Bogey.
Yes. Well, that's probably about the level of applause that our listenership gets currently. You know, that Saturday morning time slot is, you know, all the big listeners right there. It's prime time there on Saturday morning. But
I just assumed I was going to get as many words in after you came on as your current producer. So I figured I had 6 words for the rest of the interview. So I wanted to try to get in a nice long promo. So that way folks could talk. Hayes, tell us about the Sports Channel 8 radio show every Saturday over on 99.9 The Fan.
Well, as you intimated, I probably talk too much on the radio show, but we're feeling things out, exploring the space, if you will. We've got a request in and a promise that an owner of a certain pro franchise in the area that you guys might be interested in will stop by sometime soon. I don't believe it's going to be this Saturday, but I think he will stop by. I want to talk to you guys some. I know you got questions for me, but I always come with questions for you, too, on the podcast.
Beautiful.
So I want to hear some of your thoughts about Tom Dundon, who I know you've already talked about. But no, we've been having some fun. We have a whole clubhouse of people that come and hang out. So we like to say we're the only show with more people in the studio than actually listening over the airwaves. But we're having fun with it. And you guys know Ben Swain. He's a funny guy. We do some bits and try and have some fun.
If Weather Moose is on, is he going to have to wear a headdress or some kind of like mask?
We have had the Moose on. We should make him wear the headdress. That I had not thought of that. At the AC tournament, we make him wear that to shoot games. The Moose comes in with we call it the JoCo Weather Report, but it's really just an all-encompassing report about whatever might be happening in Johnson County. A highlight of that is that he picks the most random towns in Johnson County. And I can't remember the ones he used last week. Micro was probably like the most heard of town that he used last week for the JoCo Sports Report. The JoCo Weather Report.
Huh.
But you never know who's going to get the shout out in Johnson County or what's going to be going on in Johnson County.
Well, that's good that a place in Johnson County named themselves after the host of Dirty Jobs. But Hayes, want to get your view. You know, you for some reason look to Section 328 as hockey coverage as part of the Sports Channel 8 network.
Yes.
We kind of see you. You're a little bit more of an outsider of the Canes, so we'd like to get your thoughts as an outsider's view of what in the world is going on with our beloved hockey franchise.
It's interesting. It's changing times, right? I think from the outside, it's raising interest. You know what I mean? I think if you couldn't make the playoffs this year, they're doing the most they can to be interesting to the casual fan without making the playoffs. As the outsider, I don't hear about all the things with the ticket changes. To me, were positive. All the cool things they tried, they were positive just because they were trying new things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I leave it to the powers that be to figure out which ones really fans liked and worked well and which ones didn't work so well. But for casual fan, I loved it. And I loved, you know, for one game I went and I saw you guys sitting with your crew, had a whole section basically right on the glass and the whole, you know, you're basically on display for the whole arena. So I don't know if the season ticket holders who are behind you were kind of annoyed that all of a sudden there was these new loud fans where they're used to, you know, their normal neighbors or whatever, but I loved it. So in that sense, I think it's been, you know, mostly positive just because there are changes coming. Now, there are some times where I hope that Tom Dundon is seeking input from the right people because there's clearly some things that he's not going to know, but he seems like a smart enough guy to admit the things he doesn't know and get help in those areas. But overall, he seems to be an involved owner, you know, because he's friends with Mark Cuban and because he's from Dallas. And because he seems to be flush with a lot of cash, I think everybody likes to, you know, get their fingers twitching on what he might do, both, you know, specifically with players, as in, you know, are we now in the market for the biggest free agents every year? I'd like to think that maybe there's more of a possibility that some of those names that you hear, you know, were in the past. If you brought up a tantalizing name, any media guy would throw cold water on it and tell you, you know, we're not making that move. Now, is it open to that? And then who knows what else it could be, you know, from the funny stuff like saying, are we getting a Top Golf in PNC Arena anytime soon? We've already seen this stuff on the scoreboard. But like I said, I hope he's getting advice because he looks so, you know, I thought actually Luke Dukac, and this is another thing I want to talk to you guys about, is like, who is buddy-buddy with Tom Dundon the most? Dukac obviously has done his, you know, journalistic research and legs and changed and formed a relationship with the guy. And I thought he had an interesting column where he said, it's basically going to be boom or bust because this guy's going to come in, call some big shots, make some big moves, and they're either going to change things positively or he's going to make big moves, you know, sort of bigger than he knows what he's doing, and it's going to end really badly. I obviously don't want anything to go badly with the Carolina Hurricanes, but you kind of like those being your two options. It's going to be interesting with this guy. You know, he's either going to change the franchise and put us on the right path for the next 20 years, or he's going to crash and burn, and it could mean bad things for the franchise, but it's going to be interesting to watch. So we'll see.
You bring that up, Hayes, and you know, one of the questions we had on the board for you for tonight's conversation was, you know, kind of as the intersection of all things Triangle and North Carolina sports, that is Sports Channel 8, if the Carolina Hurricanes this offseason were a college basketball scandal, which one would they be and why?
They're not NC State because you know, they're definitely more like UNC. They're a UNC basketball scandal because it's everything's been ongoing. You know, it's been a long time. You never really know when the end is coming. Now there seems to be something interesting happened. Is like the NCAA, like making some final moves and sort of same thing with UNC got to the end there. It's like, it's either going to be boom or bust. Like if the committee says we will consider this to be academic fraud or athletic fraud, whatever, I still get my terms wrong. If we're going to consider these classes part of athletic, you know, a whole fraudulent system, then they're going to get hammered because this is terrible. If, on the other hand, they say, you know what, this is terrible, but technically it's not NCAA stuff, then there's really going to be absolutely nothing they could do. And it sort of went that way, obviously. So I'd say it's more like the UNC scandal, that the frustration has been long running, and so long running that you worry about people not even caring anymore. But ultimately, it's going to be a boom or bust ending, I think.
Well, thankfully, we don't have any...
Here's my question for you guys.
Okay, so, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Here's my question for you guys on the Dungeon stuff. Is it just me? And these are all dudes I like. And we said this on the... I'm not just trying to repeat Sports Channel like the radio show, but this came up, and we probably should talk to some people that are more experts. Is it just me? Or are people, like, trying to impress you with how friendly they are with Tom Dundon, media people specifically? Like, I feel like everyone's trying to let you know how tight they are with Tom Dundon and how much Tom Dundon texts them or talks to them or whatever.
Yeah.
Am I crazy in saying that?
No, I don't think you're crazy in saying that, because it is an unprecedented level of access. You know, Peter Karmanos has... I bumped into him once on a street in Philadelphia before the draft when we mistakenly took Hayden Fleury. But that literally, I think, has been the most contact anyone in Raleigh had ever had with the man. And now you've got someone who wants to try to leverage the media, who I don't know if Tom necessarily knows how to... He's talking and he's getting out a message, but I don't know if he necessarily knows how to leverage the media. And I say that kind of a la Jim Rutherford, who may have been one of the greatest masters of leaking things to the media to only get out what he wanted to do his bidding. So... yes, because, you know, I saw, you know, ABC 11 is talking about, you know, hey, we FaceTimed Tom Dundon earlier today.
Yeah.
You know, which is basically
like
saying,
texted me and said that.
Yeah, hey, I have Tom Dundon's phone number and he returns my calls, you know. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, it is so unprecedented in this market, because you have to think, I mean, from a college perspective, we have... all of those guys are kind of locked down. You get access to them. When you get access to them, you know exactly what they're going to say, because they say the same thing at every press conference, and they've said it for the last 15 years. Not only is it a fresh voice, but it's a fresh way of doing it. I just don't know if it's the right way.
So like, what would be the grand prize? Like, no one is beating this connection to Tom Dundon. Is it you're in a Slack group with Tom Dundon?
Like, we've definitely had FaceTime. If you got it, your own, like, side group. Now, I think if you got, you know, what's the new thing these days? Like a snap streak? If you snap every day with somebody, like, they tell you how many days in a row. I'm pretty sure, and I only know this because my niece has told me, my niece went overseas for a semester. She's in college, and she left her phone with another niece just to check in every day. And all they do, it's not like picking out a picture, like to try and send a nice picture. You literally just, like, you know, press the button to take a snap of whatever it is when you press the button, whatever your camera happens to think, and then you just send the snap to continue the streak. So I think whoever's got the continuous snap streak with Tom Dundon wins it.
All right, so I
what would you nominate?
Who do we nominate for that? Snap streak?
Oh, no. I'm saying, what would you nominate as, like, the, like Slack, being in a Slack group, being in Snapchat, what would you nominate as, like, the best indicator of how tight you are with Tom Dundon?
Ooh, if a local media guy can get Tom Dundon to write them a recommendation on LinkedIn by the end of the month.
All right.
I like that.
But the other thing, it's sort of like you said with Rutherford, is, you know, you want to communicate with the media, but you want to be partly reserved, so then it doesn't just look like you want to be tactful about it, right? So as soon as it became obvious that Dundon was talking to certain people, well, then, you know, then those people would be like, I've got a source that, like, something major is happening with Ron Francis. You're like, all right, well, Tom Dundon told you. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, with some huge major change, and you're getting it before it comes out at this point, like, well, Tom Dundon told you. You know what I mean? Like, so there's no doubt that he's calling all the shots. Again, that's why I go back to, I don't mind him calling shots and making bold moves. There's just some obvious hockey things. Like, I think I could come in on a couple teams in the area, you know, Durham Bulls, Carolina Hurricanes, a couple basketball teams that I could drop in and give you a couple points of advice. And I'm like, you know what? I've been around 14-1. I think I've got some positive changes. But depending on what the sport is, I would need somewhere between a lot and a hell of a lot of help on doing a lot of the other things. And so I just hope, again, and maybe that's giving some advice about the media as well. But and there he seems to be going more into the Mark Cuban school, like we said, of just sort of like, you know, I'm the owner. This is my – I run this thing, and I've run businesses before, and they've been successful with me doing it. And so this will just be just like that. So, and we'll see.
Yeah, I at this point, I think we can – we are reserving judgment until July 15th to see what's happening with the general manager, what's happening with the coach, and what happens that first couple of weeks of free agency. So we will reserve all judgment on the first 6 months of the Tom Dundon experience.
At least a good amount of judgment. I don't want to say I'm going to reserve all of my judgment.
Well, Derek, you have no judgment.
you've judged a little bit. But, no, I think those are three, you know – obviously, general manager and head coach are two huge decisions. So GM, coach, and draft will give us an idea of what kind of hockey advice he's getting, you know what I mean? Or how much he's just going to bet on himself and, you know, hire, you know, somebody off the wall who just says, I'm going to make this guy work, you know? And we
the
say,
ghost
okay,
of
well, now
bull.
He
will.
So, Derek, I'm going to take this conversation completely off somewhere where you and I didn't even show prep for this. This feels like an appropriate week to do this. This week is also the National Football League entry draft. The Carolina Hurricanes will figure out where they draft in this year's draft this year. So
hold on.
So Hayes, I'd like to ask you, in the spirit of a mock draft, I would like, now that you're a member of the big time local media, I would like you to put together your Mel Kiper's big board of local sports media guys with your top five local sports media guys. Go 5-1, go Mel Kiper style. I'd like some strengths. I'd like some weaknesses of each one. And then we are going to actively judge you based upon how right you are. You're going to be Mel Kiper.
Right,
we're going to be Todd McShay.
I don't want to be McShay.
What are we drafting them on real quick?
If you're putting together the Anchorman style, you know, news team of
gotcha,
the world,
gotcha.
You know, the top five draft picks of local Raleigh media, mock draft them out.
Okay.
Number five on Hayes Permar's big board.
All right, let me write it out here. Number five, you got Julio. Give me a guy with local ties. A lot of upside. He's been in the market. He knows things well. He's a smart player. He's not going to get rattled by, you know, some locals who heckle him. He sticks to his principles. I really thought he got misused by his team this year, the past year, being used on another beat. I thought that was an odd move by them, but I think that, you know, the scouts could see that he really could do his best work if you build a team around him, and that is following a team in Raleigh. You know, that's the best thing to do. So, give me Julio at five.
Great with the yellow pad. Nobody in this draft is better with him with a yellow legal pad.
Absolutely. Uses the pad. Brings that to the table. A lot of tools, but the pad's right there. Looks good. Needs to work on his voice. Needs to develop his voice so he can do a little more radio and things like that. But he looks good, cleans up well, and he's got a wife who helps him do some great social media stuff there. They work together. Great, great teamwork there at the end of them.
Great team. And
number four, I'm going, a lot of guys don't know about this guy, but I'm going Jeff Jones at, used to be the WCN, but now they're Channel 17, whatever they call themselves, CBS 17. He's a great TV guy. Yep. Doesn't know a ton of hockey. I don't know if you guys would have seen him much, but he's not from this area, but a ton of enthusiasm. He's sort of like an all-around athlete. Like he just brings a bit, like we're going to figure out a position to put him in at some point, but right now we just like that he brings a ton of skills to the table, right? Number three, not popular. Okay, sorry.
Go ahead. Go to number three. I think this is about to be the bombshell we've been waiting for.
Yeah, this is. I don't know how much you guys are going to like this one, but a lot of guys, you know, taking these guys straight out of high school, you know, young guys, they want a lot of potential. This guy is a seasoned veteran, but I think I'm going to draft him because I think he's got a few more years. He's got the ability to ride people up. You can either love him or hate him. Give me Adam Gold from 99.9 The Fan. That's right. He's also, you know, also got to cape up a little bit now that he's technically a colleague of mine and I've got my own show. He's a little undersized, even for a radio guy. I'm not hearing any response from the crowd on my Adam Gold. No.
Way over slotting Adam Gold. The follicular challenges that he have, plus his love of the New York Mets.
Here's the thing, downfalls. Here's the thing. That is one pick that I think the Jets fans won't boo as mercilessly.
Good point. We're gonna disagree on that. But let's see who you got in the top two. Top two in the Raleigh media draft. Who's your number two?
All right. My top two in the Raleigh Sports Media Draft. I'm going off the board here for number two. This is one that nobody really people have heard about, but she got most improved probably in the last year. She really came on the scene, and she's really doing a lot in the hockey market. But give me Love and Hydrogen, your girl Meg.
That's right. She's way off the board.
She snuck on my big board.
I love that.
Her game previews really changed things. I think they brought in a whole new level of Hurricanes fan. They really helped me personally. And as I say her name, I know I followed her personally, but now I'm following her from the Sports Channel 8 account. So like I said, I'm really sliding under the radar there. But jokes aside, her game previews are awesome. And so I knew I needed to work somebody hockey in there. And obviously I wasn't going to say either of you two guys, and I don't consider Gold a hockey guy. So that can, that'll make you happy. Number one, give me Mark Armstrong. The man is doing work over there at ABC 11. He's Canadian. You can't get more neutral than being Canadian. So nobody fears that he likes Carolina State or Duke, you know, more. That's key for this market. You got to have that. I don't know if you've seen recently, he's been mixing in his Homer cast. He's that guy who has been here long enough that he understands the market. He's not new to it. He totally understands the area, even though he knows he's not a native. And he realizes exactly where he can have a little bit of fun with his broadcast, and it works perfectly. Those Homer broadcasts, yeah, he...
Oh, that Bruins recap was beautiful.
He did it another time for a state game. That was fantastic. He understands social media, but he's not a slave to it, and he's not he doesn't overdo it on social media, I'd say. And besides that, on a personal level, I've just enjoyed hanging out with the guy on the road. He's always been very nice and supportive of the work that we do. I know he's given mentions and shout outs to you guys, I believe, on the air, if I'm not mistaken. So. He's my number one right now in the draft.
Yeah, he was kind enough to include our scream of agony as part of one of his broadcasts. Yeah,
exactly. That, like, stuff like that. It just fits perfectly in the broadcast, and he gets the market and understands it, and partly gets that, you know, if he's gonna, you know, talking hockey in this market, and if you mentioned you guys, the hockey fans are going to know who you guys are. He gets it, so I like him.
Yeah, well, you know, we love that. You're wrong, but we'll grade you off the air. You missed a couple of key figures there. I see nowhere of Jeff Gravely. Jeff Gravely bringing you sports in the triangle, I think, since 1942. Been around.
Yeah, it's true. I was trying to diversify and mix up my, you know, Gravely could have slid in my Jeff Jones spot, but I was trying to mix it up.
Way overslotted Jeff Jones. I think Giglio is a perfectly great choice. I think that was exactly what we needed from you. For tonight's podcast, man, because that's what Sports Channel 8 brings to this market. You bring not only sports knowledge, you bring a little bit of fun, and you're doing it now every single Saturday on a platform that you very much deserve. And Hayes, you know, just frankly speaking, we could not be happier for someone who works legitimately as hard as you and who is as talented as you to do what you do. So we are very excited to be a part of not only the Sports Channel 8 family, but we're also excited to listen to your show every Saturday morning, because then we don't have to listen to Adam and Joe as much.
We enjoy working with you guys as well. And tease, we've got hockey that we'll be talking on the show this week. We'll be premiering experts to talk about our best hopes to stop the Capitals from winning a Stanley Cup. So every time they play an opponent from here on out, we'll talk to somebody. So this week we'll talk to somebody about the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm not going to reveal exactly who it is just yet. Not necessarily anybody famous, but just somebody that will talk about the Penguins and how we can stop the Capitals from winning the Stanley Cup.
Well, I look forward to hearing you talk to Evgeny Malkin and Phil Kessel on this week's episode of Sports Radio Show.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
Hayes, it has been our pleasure as always, sir. You would be in our top five draft. It would be the bottom of our top five, but you'd still be there because you're that damn good. But we always kind of assumed you were a power bottom. What?
Power forward.
Okay. I got my things mixed up there. Hayes, congratulations, sir. We appreciate it. Thank you for coming on this week's edition of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. We hope we're not blocked next week.
Thank you. And thank you guys. Okay, congratulations to you guys on the continued growth and success of Section 328 in the podcast.
We're doing our best. We are holding steady at three listeners. So as soon as you guys break three listeners on a Saturday, let us know. And we'll have a cage match for the fourth.
Yeah, we're hoping to get up to three listeners. But when we do, yeah, we'll have them square off. Excellent. Unfortunately, we'll probably find out it's like two of them are the same people. Like two people listen to your podcast and they're the same two people that listen to our show, and then you guys have one extra guy who just loves hockey that much, and we have one extra guy and it's like my mom or something.
Well, we love your mom. Hayes, thanks so much for joining us, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace. See you guys.
You know, Hayes Permar, quality dude, media legend. And Derek, real quick, we've still got cheap mail, a beer review, and folks are already well an hour into this podcast now. Quickly,
yes,
your top five local media, 5-1, go.
Oh, Jesus. What forms of media?
Just local sports media.
Local sports media, 5-1?
5-1, quick, go.
5-1, I'm going to give, put Hayes in the five slot.
Okay.
I like Hayes a lot. He's a good dude. He's everywhere. 4, I'm going to go Brownlow. I like Brownlow a good deal. I think she brings a lot of fun. 3, Mandy Mitchell. I don't think you'll fit more sports knowledge and enthusiasm in a tinier person than Mandy Mitchell.
I like that.
She's fantastic. Where am I? 2? Am I at 2 now?
2.
2, Mark Armstrong. Crazy thing. I'm not going to Armstrong number 1. Love me some Armstrong. Number 1, Mike Maniscalco. Friend of the pod and just genuinely phenomenal person.
I like where you went there. I'm going to stick with Hayes. I like Joe Giglio at 5. I think
hate his AP college football polls.
I know you do. I like Giglio at 5. At 4, I'm going to go Hayes Permar. I think Hayes has added quite a bit to the local media scene. At 3, I'm going to put in Joe Ovius.
Okay.
Again, another friend of the podcast.
He was on the big board.
But a guy who knows his role, plays it well. Plays it very, very well.
Yeah.
Number 2, Jeff Gravely. Jeff Gravely, been around for a long time. Really like what he does. Did a great job with a lot of the Tom Dundon coverage initially when he came in and a lot of the other pieces. Number 1, I got Mike Armstrong. And the reason Mike Maniscalco not on my big board... Mike Maniscalco, not local media. Mike Maniscalco, national media.
Oh, there you go. Quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who is older than they look? Or who looks younger than they are? Jeff Gravely, John Forslund?
Ooh, Johnny F. John Forslund, because his hair coloring, and I'm not talking about his natural coloring, I'm talking about his colorist. Very talented.
Okay.
Very talented. Okay, because I've seen John when he lets it grow out a little bit. And he has more salt than pepper nowadays.
Fair enough.
But if we were talking like legitimately, like, again, I'm talking about, you know, people who cover a more swath of media. Love Lauren Brownlow. Really wanted to put her. I thought about maybe kicking off Giglio and bringing,
oh, you should have,
and bringing her on. But again, such a big fan of when Giglio was yellow padding everything for NC State. As an NC State homer, I had to put him there. Your love of the Buckeyes has your eyes colored. Also, what you've been drinking during the podcast may be throwing off your vision just a little bit.
It may maybe. So do you want me to talk about this now?
Or no. Let's see if we can still have our eyes good enough to read this cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. We're really late in the podcast. Go, Derek. Go.
We got a few questions, Mike.
Not a lot, because it's the off season.
No, about Rod Brind'Amour.
Who?
We already talked about Rod Brind'Amour. Yes. So thank you to Carl Smith and Jason Mariani and others who talked about Rod Brind'Amour in those specific questions, but we already got those. I'll go to Dan Penn _.
Ooh, respect the underscore.
Thank you, Mike. So what's your stance on the front office situation?
TBD. I believe, actually, so my stance on the front office situation, currently a Buffalo stance. I'm waiting to see what happens.
That works for me.
Derek, your stance? Also in a Buffalo stance?
Wide. It's a wide stance.
Wide stance. Wider than your shoulders, which is not a very wide stance. But still, from our buddy Chris Clark, he is at DogButler2001. Shout out to all of the Caniac loyalists, particularly the guys who are part of the oh gosh, Derek, it's escaping me, kind of the Canes
booster club.
The Canes booster club, for all they've done over the years to support them and support the Canes and all of the charities. Derek, who's your favorite for head coach?
My personal favorite, who I think, like, if betting favorite or personal favorite?
Your personal favorite. He asked, who's your favorite?
Okay. Well, I mean, because favorite could be interpreted in multiple ways. I just wanted to get your interpretation before I answer.
Personal favorite.
Personal favorite. Oh, God. I don't know. Pat Clark's going to kill me for this, but whatever the name of the dude that's coaching the Marlies.
Sheldon Keefe.
Is it Keefe?
Sheldon Keefe is the correct answer.
Yeah, bring that guy on.
Yeah, Sheldon Keefe is the correct answer. Go ahead, Derek.
All right. Travis Barkley, at Mr. Travis Barkley. Is it possible we didn't make the playoffs because our best players probably can't grow quality beards?
That is incorrect. Our best players can grow beards. It's just that our best players no longer play for the team.
Ooh.
You know, Ron Francis, Rod Brind'Amour.
Oh, okay.
Scott Walker.
What proof do you have that Brind'Amour can grow a beard?
I don't. You're right.
Thank you.
Derek, this from our buddy Dan McLaughlin. He is Caniac176 over on the Twitterers. Over under 50% chance Derek Allen Ryan is going to Calgary to join Bill Peters.
Over.
Oh, yeah. The over is, how do you get over 100%? You make a save. That's how you get over 100%.
Here we go. Over under, Mike. This is a cheat mail question from at D Wrestle.
Okay, go ahead.
Over under 40% chance Justin Falk returns next year.
Ooh, it's gonna be TBD.
No, it's not. It's you.
It completely depends upon the personality.
I know there's a lot of things it
manager
depends on, but place your bet, sir.
I can't place my bet,
yes,
until I know
can.
The person. Okay, so
let's say I give you $50.
Okay.
And you have to right effing now put it on over or under 40% Justin Falk coming back.
Under.
Right, there you go.
You know what's under? You know what's also under that?
What's that?
The odds of you actually giving me money.
Oh yeah, that's like a 0.4.
Yeah. So, Derek, another cheat meal question from that Edmund guy. Which in-game commercial featuring Hurricane alumni will we miss the most? The Loco Taco commercials, the Kinetico water commercials, or the creepy Tuomo Rutu being a mobile in a kid's bedroom Rex hospital commercials.
Oh, God. I miss the most the Loco Taco one. That's the one I miss the most.
I was going to say, I'm going to jump in there. You know the one I'm going to miss most? It is going to be the Kinetico commercials, and it's not going to have anything to do with Bill Peters.
Is it the one with his son?
No, it's going to be that one was great, but it's going to be the snarky comments that I made about this year's commercial, not because of Bill Peters himself, but because of Bill Peters' daughter coming home, not because she wanted to see the family, but because she wanted to be with former Carolina Hurricane Brad Malone.
And the fact that I heard from multiple people that I made that commercial even worse for people when I pointed out that the drapes behind the kitchen sink were laying on the counter.
They were puddling.
Oh my
God! That's a water joke, Derek. They puddled.
Oh, they that was just awful.
Do we have any more cheat mail questions?
Oh yeah.
Speaking
yeah,
of awful
no,
things,
no, we do. We do.
Let's be awful together.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey Derek, I have this one from at Raleigh Caniac. Agree.
Yeah,
I just wanted somebody to agree with.
Yeah,
us.
I like agreement, Mike. I think you had one F Mary kill. I have an F Mary kill for you first, though.
Ooh,
F Mary kill. Brenda Morris head coach, Darling getting another chance. Trip Tracy suits.
Ooh, I am going to. I'm going to kill Trip Tracy suits because that's an inanimate object. So I'm okay with killing an inanimate object. I am going to marry Brenda Moore as the head coach because I don't hate it. And I am going to F Darling getting another chance because I think he deserves another chance. But I think that chance needs to be quick. It needs to be forceful. And it needs to be damn good.
That's the exact right answer.
You're welcome. Derek, this one from our buddy Jason Graham. He is at Leoghan. I don't even know what that is.
Was that in reverse?
Yeah, Leoghann. I have no idea what that is. F. Mary Kill, the Caps winning the cup, Paul Maurice winning the cup, Buffalo winning the cup.
This is going to anger our friends at Sports Channel 8.
I'm sure it will.
I am marrying the Caps winning the cup.
That is the correct answer.
For two reasons. One, I picked the Caps to win the cup in the section328.com whelp drink bracket. And Mike, I asked you to remind me. You had not. I had completely forgotten until right now. Quick update on the 328
live,
bracket.
Live in-game update.
We have a three-way tie atop the bracket right now between Mix 18, Luke, and Larry 1. I absolutely hate the way this app, this website is built. So if it comes down to a tie, we're going to need people to identify themselves better. But right now, Mix 18, Luke, and Larry 1 are tied in the group of 190 plus people.
Ooh.
In the bracket. One of those people may win a t-shirt. So Mike, back to the question of F. Mary Kill, Caps winning a cup, Paul Maurice winning a cup, Buffalo winning a cup. I am marrying the Caps winning a cup because I want to win the bracket. And I want to see Ovechkin win a cup.
Alex Ovechkin, a single person will not have had as much joy since Rod Brind'Amour lifted the cup.
Completely agree.
As if Alex Ovechkin is handed the cup.
Totally agree. This one kind of hurts a little to say out loud. I'm going to marry Paul Maurice winning the cup.
No, you've already married the Caps.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to F Paul Maurice winning the cup. And here's why. I never want to see Paul Maurice win a cup. But there are players on Winnipeg, and if he ends up coaching another team, I'm sure there'll be players on that team that I want to see succeed.
That's how coaching works, Derek. There's players on teams if you're a coach.
No, but I'm saying there'll probably be players that I want to see win. There are some teams where I don't want to see any of them win. I can't think of a guy on Anaheim that I want to see lift the cup. So I want to see Patrick Laine win a cup. Blake Wheeler seems like a cool dude to lift the cup. Dustin Byfuglien will probably chug Fatback out of the Stanley Cup, and that'd be awesome.
Dustin Byfuglien's already done that, though, with Chicago.
Right, but I didn't see him chug the Fatback. Like, just melt it down. Dustin Byfuglien is now on a new regimen. He's going to melt some ghee in the cup and just chug that. That's okay. Cool. I'm good with that. I am not good, and I'm killing the idea of Buffalo winning the cup. There may be players I like on that. But that would mean that Buffalo has won a cup, and I cannot have that.
Derek, I cannot agree less.
Go on.
I'm okay with Ryan O'Reilly, Jack Eichel, Rasmus Ristolainen winning a cup.
You're okay with the guy with a drunkard 69 jersey saying, "You won a cup!"
Yeah, there's plenty of drunk Carolina Hurricanes fans who have done the same thing.
But they didn't have a drunkard 69 jersey.
I don't care, Derek. I never want Paul Maurice to win another game ever. Paul Maurice is about to go into a series against the Nashville Predators.
Right.
I hope he has four consecutive shutouts delivered to him. I hope Mike Fisher scores on him so much that his other eye droops. I wish nothing but trades for every player on Winnipeg you mentioned. Derek, people are dumber for having heard your take and I hope God has mercy on your soul.
So what's your answer then, Mike?
The correct answer is I will F Buffalo, because while we won't feel good about it, it'll be dirty, it'll be raunchy, and we'll forget about it tomorrow. And you know, I'm killing Paul Maurice.
And you're still marrying the Caps winning cup.
Absolutely.
Okay, fair enough.
Because that is the correct answer. Also, things that I would like to marry, Prairie Bomb. Why don't you tell the Derek? No,
I'll tell the Derek.
Tell them, Derek, about this beautiful version. Version, yes, I'm telling you about this version of Prairie Bomb you picked out over at Bottle Mix earlier today.
Hell yeah, this is really cool. So I was in Bottle Mix earlier today, and I walked in and I saw bottles that spelled out bomb. And there were four different 12-ounce bottles from Prairie. And I was like, hey, Dustin, what's going on with this? And by the way, if you don't know where Bottle Mix is, because it's been a few weeks since we've told you, it's on Creedmoor Road. It's north of Crabtree Mall by about 2 miles. It's south of 540 by about a mile. It's in Brennan Station. It's behind Briggs. It's behind a Jiffy Lube and a Dunkin' Donuts. And go in there and talk to Dustin, talk to Bruce, and they'll hook you up with some great beer and some great wine. Back to the beer itself, though, today. Prairie Bomb, like Mike said, it's an amazing imperial stout. It's got vanilla and coffee and chili peppers and cocoa nibs. And it's just a remarkable beer. But what Prairie did with this series was they broke it down into four components. So they have an imperial stout that's aged on coffee, one that's aged on chili peppers, one that's aged on cocoa nibs, and this one that I have is aged strictly on vanilla. And I thought this one would be cool because I've had imperial stouts aged on coffee and I've talked to you about them before, and chili peppers sounds like it might just be an imbalanced experience. The cocoa nibs sounded cool. But I've never had an imperial stout just with vanilla. And I was like, well, let's try it because Prairie does phenomenal work. So let's give this a shot. Boy, oh boy, is this a delight. So it's, first of all, I'll let you know, it's not an inexpensive bottle. This 12-ounce bottle, it's in the neighborhood of 10 bucks or so. But here's the cool thing about it. This is a sipper. You're going to want to savor this for a while. So for your drinking dollar, you are getting some phenomenal value. It's about 11.5%, maybe 12% alcohol. So it's really good beer. You want to take your time with it because not only is it higher in alcohol, but the flavors are so good. So you may see a little higher price, but trust me, it's worth every penny. It pours just damn near a jet black. When I got a little, you know, when I poured it in the glass, let it open up a little bit. The head on this beer is just like a really, really deep tan. The aromas are rich. There is roasted malt. There's booziness to it. There's vanilla. There's sweetness. And they all work really, really well together. And you get a lot of those flavors on the palate. It's rich. It's smooth. It's boozy. It's sweet. And it's just a fantastic experience. But if you've had Prairie Bomb, you may appreciate just how well all four of those components come together. And where it's really cool is you can buy all four of these, you can mix them yourself, and you can spend you know, a decent amount of money buying all four bottles and maybe have some friends over and do a little tasting experiment and say, hey, who can make the best combination of Prairie Bomb? Can anybody make something that tastes better than Prairie Bomb? Or you can go to Bottle Mix in a couple weeks, head over to their social media accounts. They're on Twitter at Bottle Mix, BOTTLEMIXX. Bottlemix.com, spelled the same way, but then just add .com to it. They have an event coming up in just a couple weeks where they're going to have all four of these Prairie Bomb variants on tap, and you can get a flight of all four, and you can mix them up yourselves for far less than you could buy all four bottles. Really, really cool. You get to taste all of them, and you get to see just how good these different Imperial Stout variants can be. So maybe Imperial Stout sometimes are a little too boozy for you, a little too coffee, or a little too sweet. You can find the one that's right for you, make your own mix, figure out if you want to buy more of these Prairie Bombs. I can't recommend this beer highly enough. It's some truly delicious stuff. So head to Bottle Mix, ask for Dustin for the beers. You'll see the sign on the 328 Beer of the Week. Thank you to all of you who have head in and asked for the 328 Beer of the Week. We've heard some great stories of folks going in and looking for those. Additionally, on a kind of a personal note, on some white wine, which is completely different from this beer, Jones Vondrell makes a wine called a Petit Manseng. That's the grape. Really interesting. It's a North Carolina wine. It's around $20 a bottle. It's not like Chardonnay. It's not like Pinot Grigio. It's just interesting as hell. I highly recommend it. So go in, tell Bruce that Derek said, go get some Petit Monseng from Jones Von Drill and enjoy that with whatever the hell you're cooking.
What if I'm cooking steak?
Don't.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay. Those of you, like, seriously, enjoy what you like to eat with what you like to drink. But for me, don't do white wine with steak. That's,
again, you can, just red's better.
Yeah.
And they've got plenty of good reds, too. They've got plenty of good beers. They've got plenty of good everything over at Bottle Mix. Unlike this podcast, they've got a selection long enough that, you know, you probably could have enjoyed a six-pack during this podcast.
You could.
And the podcast is probably better if... Actually, the podcast probably would have been better if we would have told you to enjoy a podcast at the beginning, as opposed to
enjoy a podcast at the beginning?
No, enjoy a six-pack at the beginning of the podcast, rather than telling you to enjoy a six-pack at the end.
Tell you what, listen to the podcast again. Before you press play, crack the first of your sixer.
Right. And then every time we say something that you disagree with, drink a beer.
You know what? One of these times, we need to come up with the... Or something. You know what? We shouldn't come up with it.
No self-gloss.
Right. Don't self-gloss. Someone listening, let us know your thoughts on the Cheaters Never Win drinking game. And you know, I'm all ears.
And Derek, you know what? We can actually talk about making that Section 328 Cheaters Never Win drinking game official during one of this summer's multiple meetups. Right now, we're working on a couple. We're going to tease them and then let this podcast go. One, movie night is going to be happening where somewhere during the hockey offseason, we're hoping to show a hockey-themed movie that our Patreon subscribers are going to get a chance in helping choose what that movie is.
Ooh.
Maybe at one of the, let's call them, more traditional movie theaters inside the Beltline in Raleigh. As we work to finish up that, we're also working on something with our good friends over at Bottle Mix, some sort of live event with those guys. So both of those are coming during the off season. We're going to have a few more podcasts because I know I've got more to get off my chest. Derek has more to get off his chest about all of this off season craziness.
Word.
We've also got the off season John Forslund special to come to you after the pod, after the season, and after all of the playoffs. Also, I'm going to go ahead and fire my shot. Tom Dundon will be on Cheaters Never Win before next hockey season.
I wish you wouldn't say that.
I wish I didn't have to, but you know what, Derek, as the producer of the year, award-winning producer of the year.
You made that award yourself!
As an award-winning producer of the year of this podcast,
I make the best dinners in my own house. Award-winning chef!
That's fine. I've been to your house.
Wow.
I didn't say anything about it. I just said I've been to your house.
Yeah, it wasn't what you said, Mike. It was how you said it.
Yeah.
I picked up what you're putting down. We've done this, Mike, for 5 full seasons.
We can talk.
I understand your subtext is what I'm saying, Mike. And I don't appreciate it, good sir.
Whatever. I'm tired of you. if you'd like to be co-host of this podcast, please send your email to mike@section328. Because you know what? I'm tired of having to go all the way to Garner. Anyway, until next time. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Section328.com. Check us out. Section328. Or underscore. Section_328.
What the hell, Mike?
Yeah. Respect.
Respect the English language, for the love of God.
Chabita.
Timmy.
Out of here.
Bye.